This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Economists and others tell us most Americans don't save nearly enough for retirement. In Michigan, nearly 1.7 million workers have jobs where the employer does not offer a retirement savings plan. Two Democrats, State Representative Scott Dianda and Robert Wittenberg, introduced bills that would set up a Michigan Secure Retirement Savings Program. Representative Dianda joins us now. How would the savings program work?
Well, how this would work is this would be able to have people who are working at a business to be able to invest money, and they would be able to have this available to them. And this is the whole point, is to get our great employees that are working for businesses to be able to save for their future and offset the state's liability when people get on Social Security and that's their only source of income. We got to be able to establish something where they are encouraged to save, and this in the future is going to help us reduce the cost of state government when we're putting out resources for people that do not have retirement program. So I think that this is something that we want to create to make sure that Michigan workers have a future for a retirement so they can retire with dignity and they don't have to be on assistance programs.
Now, your bills suggest 3% of their wages being funneled into a retirement account. Some workers are living paycheck to paycheck and can't even imagine that. Would the workers be forced to participate?
They would not be forced to participate, and even also with the private business. This is something that is not a state mandate to any business, and I want to make sure that people understand that. This is something that would be for the future, and I think there's a lot of businesses that if they do embrace this, they are going to be able to have more long-term employees, better people that stick around and not start job shopping every time that, you know, there's another job opportunity for them. So I think this is so key important to be able to focus on Michigan and get people in the mindset of saving money again. We got to look at the 1940s and 50s when the government started telling people to buy savings bonds to invest in the country and their future, and I think this is the same idea where we're trying to go.
So I want to get back to that 3%. Could a worker decide, well, look, I can't see my way to 3%, but maybe I can do 1%. Would that be allowed?
That would also be allowed. It could be allowed. We could have it set up for anything that they could afford to do, and as they continue to grow in their job, they might have raises that are coming, and they'd be able to invest that money. And we all know just by putting away a little bit of money to save for the future adds up in a big way. You know, that's just known for our common sense approach to saving money, and when you sit down with an investor, they tell you the same thing. Start small and you continue to grow, and the one thing we have on our side is time to be able to grow assets.
I understand one of the bills offers a tax credit for low-income workers if they participate. What would that amount to?
The tax credit part would be an issue where we would be able to give them an assistance of $500. That claims 50% of their tax that they federally receive. So, you know, to be able to have a tax credit off the federal level would be something that's very important for those folks to see, to be able to invest in their program.
Well, as you know, a lot of people are skeptical about the government handling anything. So what would be the state of Michigan's role in managing the retirement savings program?
Well, the Retirement Association, I mean, they could be able to put their own money into any type of system that they want. It can be the private sector, and that's one thing that I thoroughly agree on, is that this has to be done on a private sector investment where the state doesn't have to handle any of the money to be able to have that into private equity funds. Or if this bill goes through the process and if we see a need to set it up through the state, we also could do that with an IRA type of program.
Republican Congressman Tim Walberg is involved in an effort to block federal rules that we're making it easier for states to start savings plans like the one you want to create. He says the U.S. Department of Labor created a regulatory loophole that would force workers into government-run individual retirement accounts without consumer protections. How does this decision by Walberg to do this affect your plan for a Michigan Secure Retirement Savings Program?
It's sad to say that we have a U.S. congressman that would want to block to have the state's right to operate any type of a program to make our residents be in a better spot for retirement, to be able to encourage people to save money. So I find it kind of bad that, you know, Congressman Walberg would want to hinder our state's right under the Constitution of Article 4.
Why do you think he's doing this?
Well, I think that it's a good headline right now. It's, you know, still it's going to get to be silly season. It starts, campaign season starts early every year. It doesn't matter what month it is in the calendar.
What are the consequences to the state if this doesn't get passed or it's blocked by this federal rule?
Well, what happens to the state would be the fact that we are going to have to put more resources in the future to be able to have people that are going to retire just on Social Security. They're going to be there at the line for our programs on the state level. We're still going to have to make sure that they're, you know, in a spot where they can afford to eat. And, you know, the biggest thing for retirees is the cost of the utilities in Michigan. It's the cost of food. It's the cost of their medication. And anybody now that we can get in the next 35 years to start saving money, to start taking care of their own business and their own life, is a good plan. And I think that's all about why we live in this country.
Representative Scott Dianda is co-sponsor of legislation that would create a Michigan Secure Retirement Savings Program for workers who employers don't offer a 401k. Thanks for explaining this to us.
Thank you, sir.
So as we're talking about, Republican Congressman Tim Walberg of Michigan's 7th District sponsored a resolution that blocks states from setting up that voluntary retirement account we've been talking about. One of the advantages of that kind of account would be the lower fees for managing an account. A recent report in the International Business Times suggests those lower fees are behind the reason to block the state retirement accounts. David Sirota is investigative editor and author of that news report. The whole idea of this Obama-era rule was to allow states to create these low-cost alternative retirement savings programs. So why would that be something Congressman Walberg would want to block?
I guess the answer, part of the answer, could be about what the financial industry wants. The financial industry, the private financial industry, has lobbied against these plans in states across the country, in part because the financial industry could potentially lose business or face more competition for its services from these public option, publicly administered plans. Congressman Walberg has gotten a significant amount of campaign contributions.
Right.
You
cited data from the Center for Responsive Politics that shows that he's gotten more than $500,000 from the industry, one of his top donors. I mean, how likely is it that the finance industry folks have lobbied him to block the state retirement savings plan simply because they'd lose out on those management fees?
I think we can presume that as a subcommittee chairman in a powerful role overseeing policy that affects private and public pension plans, that the financial industry has likely been in touch with his committee staff. Why is he moving to try to prevent states from doing this? I mean, it's anybody's guess. It's hard to get in somebody's head. But I think we can say for certain that the finance industry has fought these plans in states. Some states have passed these plans despite that opposition. And now the finance industry, which is very powerful at the federal level through things like campaign contributions, is now operating in Congress to try to push Congress to block these plans. Now, to be clear, the finance industry doesn't necessarily overtly say, hey, listen, we're trying to block these plans because it could be more competition for us. They have made arguments that, for instance, they've said that these plans at the state level do not get the same kinds of consumer protections as plans that are under the so-called ERISA law at the federal level.
I mean, the Obama administration rule said that ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Safety Act, was a roadblock to these state retirement savings plans. Why would the Obama folks want to skirt around a plan that's intended to keep retirement savings safe?
Well, because that law is a very Byzantine law, and the argument from the proponents of these state plans is that that law imposes reporting requirements and other kind of requirements on them that they argue are already enshrined in state law. And they argue would make it too cumbersome for states to administer. So the proponents basically say this is, look, we're not trying to get around consumer protections. We're trying to basically get around bureaucratic things that make it harder to implement at the state level. I think the thing that you can see a sort of bait and switch in the arguments from those citing this law as a reason to stop these plans. Congressman Walberg, for instance, has said, I'm concerned that state plans won't have these ERISA protections. The problem with that argument is that the finance industry and Congressman Walberg are also arguing that other ERISA standards are not applied in other ways. This fiduciary rule. There's a separate rule about financial advisors and their obligations to clients. The rule proposes to say that ERISA standards to protect consumers should apply to financial advisors. So you've got a situation where the finance industry is saying, we don't want those ERISA standards over here to protect consumers in the financial advisory role, but we're really upset that there may not be ERISA protections at the state level. The thread that connects these two things together is what's really going on is the finance industry is arguing against policies that potentially cut into its profits.
David, let me stop you there. Let's hear from Congressman Wahlberg when he was talking about why he wants to repeal this this rule.
The goal of this resolution is simple. It is to uphold protections Congress, including members of both parties, has long afforded retirement savers. Today, we can close a regulatory loophole that would be detrimental to the retirement security of hardworking Americans, and we can ensure retirement savers in every state continue to have the same protections under federal law.
And the Heritage Foundation, as your story notes, issued a report arguing that very same thing. The state plans could strip retirees of critical protections. And very shortly after that, that's what Congressman Wahlberg is making the same argument. You wrote up a follow-up piece on this topic showing that 31 out of 32 Republican members of Congress from eight states that currently have retirement savings plans voted to rescind that federal rule that protects those plans. What happens to the people already enrolled in a state retirement savings plan now?
That's a great question, and I don't think we know. If Congress does roll back the rule that allows these plans, those plans would then be subjected, presumably, to regulatory efforts at the federal agency level to eliminate them. That is to say that the plans won't suddenly cease to exist, but it would effectively empower the Labor Department or class action lawsuits by the finance industry to try to get rid of these plans, to legally invalidate them and shut them down. So this would be a first step to opening up that possibility.
One final thought on this. According to Retirement Equity Lab at the New School, using the U.S. Census Bureau's Community Population Survey, of the 161 million workers in the U.S., more than half, 54.2%, that's 87 million workers, do not have access to a retirement plan at work. Even people with 401ks generally won't have enough money to retire comfortably. What's going to happen to, well, over half the population in their retirement years?
Well, that's the big question, I think, one of the biggest economic questions facing the United States right now. I mean, to be clear, the state-based plans that we're talking about allow workers to contribute to a 401k style plan administered at the state level with lower fees in many cases than they can get in the private sector on the private market. But, and this is a very big but, that doesn't solve or even nearly solve the retirement crisis in the United States, because the retirement crisis in the United States is both one about high fees charged to the savings that are already being accrued, but also one about a lack of savings. These plans are not proposing to put more money into savings, more money from employers or more money from government programs into retirement savings. And the retirement crisis is certainly as much and a lot more about how much total money is being put into retirement savings. And that's a problem that has not been solved or really, in many cases, not really addressed at all.
And one of the things about the fees that I read recently was that in a typical worker's 401k, the lifetime, there could be up to $70,000 worth of fees. That's amazing.
Right. And that cuts into obviously cuts into retirement savings, the savings that are necessary to subsist in retirement.
David Sirota is the investigators editor at the International Business Times. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We reached out to Congressman Tim Wahlberg for an interview. He declined our request.